Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, this is Chris Shank, the education guy at the Painting and Decorating Contractors of America. PDCA provides painting contractors with the training and networking they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pdca.org. On this episode of Paint Ed, we have Tom Reber from Motorhard Business Coaching again with us. This is actually part two of a conversation I had with Tom about hiring kick-ass people that do kick-ass work. Tom does not pull punches. He shoots straight, tells you like it is, and it smarts a bit, but it's all good in the end. And if you have not heard part one, go back and listen to it. It's worth it.
Out of all the trades, I really believe the painting trade is the most intimate trade with the customer. I mean, guys, we're in like the teenage daughter's bedroom painting crap.
Good point.
You know what I mean?
Really good
we
point.
We go into a home. I mean, think of it this way. Like, I travel, and I've traveled a couple times, and one time we had an issue with our front door, long story, but we needed it like it late at night. We had to call like a handyman dude or somebody to come over and fix our front door. We had a big windstorm here in Colorado, whatever. And I was out of town. My wife calls me. And so here I am as the dad, the husband, the protector, 1,000 miles away, and I can do nothing about this problem. And, you know, we had to call somebody that I would have trusted, right, to come into my home when I'm out of town. And so, guys, we go into people's homes where maybe, you know, the wife is there with two or three little kids and the mother-in-law lives there and dad's out of town and all this. I mean, we are like steeped deep into people's lives.
Right.
And that's to me why we need, the stakes are much higher. We need to be way more picky in this industry. And I've written and talked before about how I believe painters have way more talent than most good painters do, have way more talent than all the other trades do, yet we make the least amount of money, which is freaking ridiculous to me. It makes me want to, you know,
throw somebody out a window.
Yeah. Throw somebody out a window. And so again, I mean, I wish I had the chart in front of me. Listen, I made this chart on if you get 50% gross profit as a company, trades company, if you or like kind of as a baseline amount, and you got to get 100 jobs a year to break even or whatever. But then there's a chart where it shows, well, what if it's a 35% gross profit? Then I got to do like 43% more jobs to make the same break even money. Yet if I go from 50 to 55 or 60% gross profit, I can actually do less than the 100 jobs. I can do like 20, 30% less jobs and make the same amount of money, which means, Chris, I would need to have less guys. So if I hire better people, pay them more, expect more,
right,
invest in them and train them, I can actually make way more profit in my business at the end of the day to put in my own pocket than if I had twice as many people that weren't the right people.
So let me ask you a real quick question, okay? Because I know we don't have a whole lot more time, and I want to get to this. You're talking about mindset issues. You're talking about changing the mindset. And all this makes perfect sense when you talk about it. I mean, I know people are applauding you because you're saying you can make tough decisions like this, but it's for the right reasons, and you're going to have a better business. And people just love it. They need to be encouraged, and you could tell – it's almost like even some things that we know, like you said, the character thing, hire for character, but we need it told to us in a different way, or somebody with confidence and maybe a sense of authority to tell us that so we could believe it ourselves. So why are people having such a hard time going through with that?
Fear. I think fear right out of the gate, number one. You know, we're afraid to take a stand for something, make a stand for something. We think that we need to win all these jobs. We think that we can't get by with doing less jobs. Here's another thing, like the whole EMA thing. And I know a lot of other, you know, coaches and stuff and consultants preach, you know, getting out of the field and all this other garbage. I say garbage, I don't mean garbage, but, I think a lot of guys are so focused on, I've seen a lot of guys so focused on getting out of the field that they end up getting out of the field too soon. And instead they should say, you know what? I'm going to be content being out in the field more and making sure that the experience that we deliver is the absolute best in the industry before I try to scale this thing. So I think these things are obviously all connected, you know, but that same foreman, Tony, that I threatened to throw out the window, he worked side by side with my business partner for like 10 years in a small business. And my partner trained the crap out of him. And he knew when he said, hey, get the room ready, he knew exactly what it meant, from where we park to how we knock on the door. And I was like, yeah, all this has to be documented. Yeah, it's a process and there's training and all this. But I think there's this huge focus of getting out of the field and growing a bigger business, which, hey, if that's your goal, that's great. But I'd rather do less work, charge more money, make more net profit, have a better life, not be so frantic, knowing that I have a small team of the right people, than having a big team of the not right people.
Nice. Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so if somebody is not doing it the right way and they're listening to you and thinking, yes, I need to make that change or those changes, because it could be several things. It could be a whole life change of practicing contentment, practicing a proper channeling of ambition, timing, things like that, which extends to all of our life because it's a trait. It's a general character trait. So, but if people want to go back, they're like, I need to do it right. I don't know where to start. That's a big thing. I don't know how to change myself. What are the like first two steps you suggest to people to get things back on track?
100%, without a doubt, you have to, for me, it's, I go hiking, you know, I'm in Colorado. It's, you know, I go hike.
Nice.
You got to get a day, a week, 2 days, get away, do something by yourself that you can totally just get honest and real with what you really want. Like truly, what do I want? Well, I want to have a successful business. Okay. Why? What does that mean? Define a successful, like, I think there's two, cause you asked for the top two things.
Sure.
The number one thing I always preach is clarity. If you truly don't know what you want, then you're screwed. Cause you're just going to be wasting your time, and life is too short to waste our time. You know, our family's financial future is too important for us to waste time. I mean, Chris, the average contractor makes like 50 grand a year. I've had guys at events that I've spoken to that have come up to me that have said, I have one guy, actually two different guys, two different occasions, different sides of the country, come up to me, both with tears in their eyes, pulled me aside, said, I've been at this almost 40 years and I don't have anything to show for it.
Wow.
All right. And so, I really believe that it comes down to, they're not as clear on what they want. What do they really, really, really want? And I think for me, I remember when I was younger in business, I would fall prey to the peer pressure that, oh, I had to build a bigger business. It has to be bigger. I have to be, you know, X amount of revenue, X amount of guys in order to be successful.
I hear that a lot, yeah. Tom.
Yeah. And I'm here to tell you, get clear on what success means to you, and don't let anyone else, sway you from that. So for me, like, Chris, I coach high school football. I've done it for 16 years. So part of my success professionally is that I run the type of business and have the type of life that allows me to coach football and have an impact in kids. Okay. And so in any career of mine, any business, any whatever, that runs through my filter. Like, if this is going to screw that up for me, I don't want to do it. Okay. Success to me is that my phone does not ring with problems, because I've hired the right people and I've trusted them to get the outcomes that we were talking about earlier. And I pay them way more than the industry average, way more, but I also expect way more. And so I would rather, one of the things I learned from one of my business partners years ago that has changed my life, he's like, Tom, I'd rather make an easy 50 than a hard 100. Okay. And that just always resonated with me. So get clear on what you really want this business to look like. If you love to paint, then freaking paint. Don't feel the pressure to get out of the field if you love what you do. You know?
Yeah.
So clarity. What do I want my family life to look like? My relationships, and what how many months or how many working days a year do I really want to have? Listen, there's a lot of undue stress in the paint. And this is funny also. I see this more in the painting industry. Painters carry way more overhead than the average contractor does that I work with. So I got a guy does $1.4 million, $1.5 million a year. Okay. Ready for this? Everyone's going to think I'm full of shit right now. Okay.
Go for it. Let's hear it.
His share of the money. Okay. His share of the money, owner's pocket money, was almost $800,000 on a 1.5 business that he runs out of a one stall garage in his house. So he does $1.5 million, paid himself almost $800,000. Okay.
Wow.
And has hardly any overhead. Everyone's got overhead. Okay. I get that. Technically he has 800 grand worth because he pays himself. Okay. But he's not like, his mindset has been, I'm going to be the Nordstrom's of my industry. I'm going to charge a shit ton more money than everyone else. And I'm going to do a third of the jobs that everyone else is. Yet I'm going to make a ton of money, give the greatest experience I've ever had. And he does this with like a team of four guys. Wow. Okay. Cause success to him is I want to make a lot of money. I want to build a great name for myself and for my company. I want to take care of my customers and make sure that, you know, instead of doing a bunch of stupid Google ads and stuff, that I'm going to invest my time and my money building relationships with my existing client base, you know?
Yeah.
And to him, that's success because he's had a business where he was $11, $12, $13 million business where he was on the hamster wheel his whole life. He's like, I don't want that. Hmm. You know, about had a heart attack. So define, and everyone else in the industry is like, you know, well, you can't do that. You should scale. You should do this. He's like, why? I'm happy. You know? So get clear on that. And the second thing is consistency. Once you're clear on what you want, you have to day in and day out do the things that successful people do in that endeavor. You know, so you want to be a successful bodybuilder, you do what successful bodybuilders do every day. You want to be a successful salesperson, you do them every day. A lot of us say that we're consistent when we're really not. I mean, I can't tell you how many people I tell, hey, you need to use video and you need to create content for your business and be an educator. And they'll go out and they'll do it for 3 or 4 months, like once or twice a week. And they'll go, yeah, this social media stuff doesn't work.
I tried it. Mm-hmm. And you're like, no, you didn't really try it. No, that's a good point. That is a really good point.
I mean, listen, man, I have been blogging and podcasting, doing videos for 4.5, 5 years now. And nobody gave a crap for the first 4.5.
That's funny.
Okay. And it tips. And so here's something like just consistency wise, guys, is you can only do a couple things really, really well. So when you're clear on what you want, and then when you identify the couple things that bring success in what you want, just do that and do that better than anyone else does. Consistently, and you're going to get where you want. I mean, that's the equation, man. It's clarity and consistency.
Yeah. Well, I know that some people have talked about, you know, the ladder up against the right wall, kind of an analogy where you want to, when you're done climbing that ladder, you want to make sure you had it setting up against the right wall. And if it was against the wrong wall, then you think, you know, you wasted your time, you did something wrong. But I think what you're saying with the clarity is, you know, you're going to get what you want. Make sure you really thought about that from the beginning because you're going to invest a lot of time. That consistency could be years and years of doing a thing over and over until you see more results. But I am concerned with a lot of people that they haven't defined success rightly. And I see this, and I think the poet in me or the philosopher, I don't know, maybe my background kind of has preconditioned me to think, you know, that people saving up for retirement to like sleep the rest of their life away. They work so hard just to be done with it. And I think, man, spend your life in your youth and in your health and in your most lucid moments. Spend it then and don't wait to the end to just relax and chill and not have to worry about life anymore. That's kind of a life loathing sort of perspective. Like I think, and that's the way, I guess it's because that's how I define success. So I want to make sure I'm not, I want to save, I want to be ready, and I don't want to have a miserable end of life time. And maybe that's mm-hmm. the pitfall of my type of mindset and everything. But I want to make sure that all along I haven't just, bled it away, you know, at the times when I really had the most health to enjoy it. I want to spend it while I have it. And so without being prodigal yep. or without being extravagantly wasteful, that's how I define success. And I just am really sad for people who just burn the candle at both ends. And then at the end, like, they wonder if they did the right thing, if they got the right thing. And they end up telling stories for the rest of their life of all their great adventures and everything. But I'm like, did you enjoy all of it? Or did you just try to get to the point where you have where you tell your stories and now you don't have a story to tell? Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because that makes me really sad.
You touched on a few things and I think the best text I ever got from a client was, he texted me and he says, "Hey, I just want to tell you, thank you for putting a boot in my ass. Because of that, I was able to be at my daughter's softball game and got to see her hit a triple when I'm normally out doing stupid bids and putting out fires."
Wow. That's okay? Cool.
And so, and guys, here's perspective. At the end of the day, this is just a painting business. Mm. We're just putting wet, gooey colored liquid on a wall and it dries and people go, "Oh, wow, thanks. That's great." And you missed a spot.
Okay. So, and you missed a spot.
But it, at the end of the day, this is just a stupid business that brings money in. Mm. Okay? I mean, it's that simple. You own a hot dog stand. It's just a hot dog stand. It's just a business. It's not your life. It doesn't define you. And so, you know, plan for success personally at home first. Create the type of environment that your employees want to be a part of, because it's better for their family too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get clear on that. And you know what, especially when our kids are younger, like let's not let our business get out of control to where we're missing crap.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's a lot of guys that did it way better than me. Cause Chris, I'm a total high D workaholic type A conquer the world guy. And I missed out on a lot of stuff when my kids were younger. Mm. I was at most things, but I was checked out. Like, I wasn't present. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And so, you know, if I could hit the do-over button, there's certainly some things I would do over. And one of them would be, I'd focus more on profit instead of scaling. I'd focus more on getting really clear on what I wanted instead of what I thought I needed to have to be successful. And so another thing you said is, you know, or we talked about earlier, was painters have all this overhead and all this other stuff, way more than I see anywhere else, to be honest with you guys. When I adopted my son from Haiti, we were down in the orphanage and there was this sign in the wall and it said, it says, "Hey, to our guests, we're grateful you're here. If there's anything at all that you need to make your stay more comfortable, please let one of us know and we'll show you how to do without it." and that's kind of the mentality I encourage people to take with their overhead.
It's funny.
Is like, let's not spend a dime on overhead unless it's something that's truly essential and that we can point to why we really need it. Mm-hmm. And there's an ROI here. Mm-hmm. I'm all about going all in and investing on things, you know, if I'm clear on the ROI, but a lot of us, we waste a lot of money. It's like climbing Pikes Peak here in Colorado with a 200-pound pack. That'll kick your butt. I'd rather carry 20 pounds up the mountain. Mm. Okay? And so the one place I want to encourage people to truly invest, though, is their people. You know, I mean, your people are not an expense. They're an investment. When you have the right charactered person, you know, and you are basically saying, what do you need to be better? What do you need to deliver the outcomes that we want? What do you need to make your life easier from me? And then I do everything I can to give it to them. Period. I mean, I see guys that want to have a weekly meeting and they go, "Yeah, we need to have a weekly meeting, but you know, I'm not paying my guys for the drive time from whatever." And they nitpick and all this, and we're stepping over dollars to save a nickel, to pick up a dime.
You know, I think that's that's a really good point. And I will speak to the evidence of that in your life. And I can only speak as – I can't speak as like a contractor, you know, somebody that you're coaching. But I think this is another symptom of, you say, it's got to be a fruit of your character and not just something that's a one-off business behavior that's not connected to the rest of your life, because it won't last if it's not really a part of the, you know, a branch of that tree. And so I will say, just my interactions with you, you display that on a continual basis. I'm not just bragging on you for people to think that I'm just giving you some kind of an ego stroke here. I want people to see that is a part of your total life. When I am working with you, in terms of you providing education for contractors, and I'm, you know, we're setting up a convention education session or something like that, I get that same accommodating posture from you, that you are willing to do just about whatever. I was just actually telling somebody before this podcast started, I said, you know, you got to understand about Tom Reber, this guy, he is game for anything. I have a few people in my life that are like that, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for them, but it's because you don't hold back. You give as much as you can. You know it's going to come in return at some point. But also it's because it's a simple outflowing of your basic nature. You have trained yourself or something to just give, to empower others, to make people around you great because you want to be a part of something great. And I think that is maybe how you define success. And that makes me want to give back to you all the time. So when you tell people to do that for their businesses and their, you know, for their coworkers and their colleagues, their, you know, I think you are really demonstrating that all in all areas, that you really do believe that. It makes me want to be on your team, Tom. It makes me want to go on a great adventure with you. And so I think I want that for business owners. I want people to listen to you, that's just how I feel. And I'm not even like your coworker necessarily. We're more colleagues, but it's true. It's real, man.
Well, dude, I appreciate that. And I'm just doing what Zig Ziglar said, man. You help enough people get what they want, you get what you want.
And, nice. Well, aren't we all just doing what Zig Ziglar said to do?
Yeah,
aren't we all?
That's right. We just listen to Zig every day. We'd be good, man. But here's the deal. I think there's plenty for all of us, you know, in the world. Yeah. Plenty of work, plenty of opportunity, plenty of money, plenty of people, and I just found that when I'm and this has been tough, because early on I was like, Mr. Competitor, crushed the competition at all cost, you know, grinding into dust.
Not you, Tom.
And now I would rather have great relationships where we're helping each other get better in this industry, in any industry, helping us succeed in our lives. And I carry that to employees, back to the whole employee thing of, you know, all you listen here that have employees, go to your people today after you hear this and just go, hey, man, I just want to take 5 minutes, first of all, and thank you for all your hustle. And do this individually with your people as much as you can, unless you get this massively huge team. But then it'll just take longer. But, you know, Chris, man, I really appreciate your hustle. Thanks for all you do. I know I'm busy. I'm focused on a lot of things. And one of the things I'm trying to do is I'm trying to appreciate what you bring more. And so I just wanted to thank you, blah, blah, blah. How can I help you make your life better? And just shut your mouth and listen. Okay. And just listen. You know, we had guys back when we were in Chicago with our painting business there. They came to us and they said, hey, we love working here. One of the things that would help us is if we could start later, if we could be in charge of our own start time as a foreman. And I said, well, why? And they said, well, almost everyone on the in the company is a family guy and has young kids, and we'd like to take our kids to the bus in the morning. I'm like, okay, done.
A tear rolls down your face.
Yeah, but it's like done.
Yeah.
Done. You know, where I've seen other guys, no, we start at 7:30, you know, you need to be there. And again, it's just one little thing. And so that was a type of environment that we had created. And then when the recession hit and all hell broke loose with that, we pulled the guys together. We did pay cuts across the board, everyone in the company, and not one of our employees left us in that time. And when we got on the other end of it, I remember saying to one of the guys, I said, hey, Martin, why did everybody stay? And he goes, because we like We like being here. Our life is better being here. Mm. I mean, it was that simple. We like who we work with. We like who we work for, because we truly, genuinely wanted them to have a better life, to have a better relationship with their family and things like that. So help people get what they want. Many of us are so focused on our business goals and conquering them that we don't take time and go, hey, Chris, where do you want to be in 10 years? Mm. And maybe you got a guy in your crew that wants to be a real estate investor, right? And he doesn't want to be a painter his whole life. Well, why not help him be a real estate investor? Hmm. Hey, what do you need to do that? Well, I got to do this, this, and this. There's these things. Hey, well, I'll tell you what. You'd be a great guy like you've been for me. I'll do what I need to do. You need some time off. You're going to a seminar or anything like that. We'll work it out. Let's help each other get what we want here. Hmm. Instead of it being this boss employee mentality. So, hey, listen, I know we're tight on time. Can I share one?
Please do.
One more thing.
I'm going to create an extended version of this, by the way. Right. I want people to hear all this.
I want to share just a couple more thoughts of things that we talked about in San Diego. The first is this whole idea of paying your guys more and expecting more. Man, we got 19, 20, 21 year olds, whatever it is, driving like $200-300 million submarines in the Navy right now. Okay. We can put a little more on our people. You know, we can trust them to pick up a deposit check or upsell a bedroom. All right. So I just want to give perspective, man. When I was, I was 20 years old. I had a radio in the Marine Corps attached to my squad. And on the other end of the radio was like a $40 million F-18 with bombs on it that they gave me. All right. And so guys, I hear so many times, oh, they won't be able to do it right. They're going to screw it up. They're going to this. And I just want to encourage you to, when you hire truly kick-ass people on those non-negotiables, whatever your non-negotiables that we talked about, you are super clear on the outcomes that you want, I think, and then you cut them loose because you know you've hired a good person and you know they understand the outcome. And even though they might not get there, the technical stuff is quick, because they're quality people and because they give a crap, I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised at the performance that they give you when you expect more from them. So that's one thought that I wanted to put out there. Another is this. Guys, use social media. Chances are you're listening to this podcast on your phone like most people do. And you probably have a video camera and a camera. One of the things we talked about, Chris, if you remember, was talked about in order to recruit people into your business and into the trades, you got to tell better stories. You know, and recruiting and hiring people is no different than marketing. You're just marketing to a different who, different person. Okay. And so we market year round to get leads and sales. We should be marketing year round and telling stories year round to bring out employees. So for instance, if I'm out on a job site, you guys can try this. You got a sharp looking crew. They're out there painting. They're having fun. Pull out the video camera or pull out your phone, do a Facebook Live on your company page and just go, hey, it's Tom with such and such, you know, painting company. And check this out. Here's Jonathan and here's Dave. And we're out here on the east side of, you know, Colorado Springs or whatever. We're doing some exterior painting. So check this out. If you want to be part of the elite company in the industry that's doing kick butt things, making great money, making people happy, working with guys that you like, blah, blah, blah. And just bring us behind the scenes on all these jobs. Then you boost that ad or you run an ad, a Facebook ad, spend $5, $10, $20 a day for, you know, or just do $5 a day year round. Actually, you only spend $1,800 a year doing that. And you boost it to dudes that are between 20 and 30 years old that have certain likes and interests. And you can dial it all in with Facebook, find a Facebook marketing expert, and they'll help you put that video in front of the exact dudes you want applying to your business. And you know what's going to happen is they're going to look at it now. They're going to go, yeah, no big deal. And then 6 months from now, when their employer lays them off because he doesn't have any work, you're going to pick up a good dude here and there. Hmm. But it starts with stories. And to me, in the painting industry, unless I'm missing something, the guy that does this the best is Josh at Albright Painting. Okay? So I encourage you all to go to albrightpainting.com. I think that's Josh's website. And he's got videos on culture, and he's invested in a video guy to do a painter for a day video. And they show him using spray guns and lifts and doing cool things instead of just slinging a roller around. So I think when we tell a story that, hey, we get to work in a cool industry, we get to make people happy, we have a lot of fun here, that's a story that will help you recruit people.
Nice.
That are the right people. So look at building, finding and building your team that just the way you do marketing for leads and sales. So yeah, there you go.
That's awesome. Tom, it would be a crime to not post this for people to hear, I guess, everything that you're saying. I mean, this is such good stuff, and I know it's inspiring, and we almost need somebody to give us permission to think like this, because it's, I want to call it radical, because there's some people, you know, a lot of business coaches are, you know, starting to wake up to the importance of what you're talking about, but you also say it in such a way that it helps the ideas stick, helps us to see, to really prioritize, to see how important it really is. So your voice is appreciated in the industry, man. It really is. And I appreciate you being on Paint Ed today.
Thank you. I appreciate it, man. And all right. Sorry, but this is my ADD kicking in. All right.
Do
I got
it.
One more thing. You said the word stick. You said the word stick. It reminded me about being sticky in your marketing, which then reminded me about being sticky in recruiting. So check this out.
Okay.
When you use social media, stop being professional. And be real, be authentic. Chris, one of the reasons that I get the traffic and the views and the listens and the work that I do in my industry is because I'm authentic. And so how does a painter be authentic, right? Go out to a video or take your video camera, go out to a job that you're going to do. And as your guys are covering, protecting to where it looks like a freaking Dexter scene in the room, right? Okay. That's when you pull the video out and you go, hey, check this out. This is how we cover and protect a room. And you know why I cover and protect a room like this? Because there's a bunch of knucklehead painters out there that, you know, end up giving homeowners a to-do list longer than they really need in their life. You know, they come in and they paint, they don't cover, they don't protect, they leave a mess. Then the homeowner who hired the cheap guy now has a mess to clean up and blah, blah, blah. And let people see that it bothers you. Mm-hmm. Let people see that the reason I charge more money, the reason I hire better people is because, first of all, that's just how I roll. I can't not do something with excellence. And number two, it's not fair to the client. It's not fair to the consumer, and it hurts all of us. Hmm. And when you authentically put that out there, if you're a homeowner and you see that video of a painter come across,
mm-hmm.
aren't you going to want to hire that dude
right.
who gives a shit?
Right.
Okay, and it all starts with you just being who you are, being authentic to who you are.
Yeah.
And so many people overcomplicate this social media thing, that they want to come across as being, you know, I just use the word professional.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd rather you be authentic and excellent at what you do than quote unquote professional.
Right.
Let us see why you started your business. Tell the story of why you started your business and why it matters that you're in business in this town and why you're truly better than the other guys. I mean, shoot, take a picture of the schmoes walking into the paint store wearing blue jeans with paint all over them, and then take a picture of your guys and do a before and after and put it on Facebook and go, who'd you rather have in your house?
Hmm.
Tell a story in everything you do, and you will find better people to work for you, and you will find the right clients who will respect you, who will be happy to pay more money for what you do. And the cool thing about that is when you recruit better people and recruit better customers, they have friends that are like them.
Right.
Okay. And you level up your employees, you level up your customers, and next thing you know, you're sucking down a margarita and the beach somewhere.
Nice. I love you got all us right. There. You got us to the margarita on a beach. That's where we're trying to get.
Margaritas on a beach, man.
Hey, thanks for your time. Thanks for, I don't want to say reiterating what you've been trying to tell people, but just giving it to us in different ways, because it's just hard not just to remember, but it's hard to have the courage to do it. And so we just need that continual like pumping up to get to that point. So we appreciate it, man.
That's awesome, dude. Well, I appreciate you having me, and it's always good talking with you. And as always, I look forward to seeing you next time I see you, man.
Absolutely. All right, man. Tom, take care.
Cool. All right.
Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting and Decorating Contractors of America. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PDCA, visit pdca.org. We'll see you next time.
listen, I'm just doing what Zig Ziglar said, man.
Aren't we all just doing what Zig Ziglar said to do?
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
That's right. We just listen to Zig every day. We'd be good, man.